The shmuz is dedicated to Ili Nishmas, my father, Zichron Livracha. His yard site is tonight and tomorrow. Chafadar, Samuel ben Arad Rabifoel, Zichron Livracha. First, I'll mention a din that people are not so familiar with. And once my parents passed away, I became familiar with this din. Mentioned by the poskim, Baruch Hashem, I'm zochet to go to a lot of weddings, a lot of chasanas, a lot of simchas, ken yirbu. This week I was already at, today is Tuesday, I already went to 5 simchas. And I actually have a chasana tonight, but I'm not going to be at that chasana. But the poskim bring down that when one has yahrzeit, for a parent, one should not go to a chasana. Okay, I'm not going to examine right now the source, the makor for that, but usually about a month or so before my yahrzeit, I become full of trepidation, full of pachad, and my entire body is quivering and shaking, and I'm almost in convulsions, ad kedei kach, because I'm frightened by, number one, when I was mekayem the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim properly, of my parents, Zichron Livracha. And I just want to share with you a little bit relating to the parsha that we just read, Kisisa. But I'm going to begin with my earliest memories of my father, Zichron Livracha. And the memories I have as a young child, I'm talking about from the time approximately, and you can check with my brother Shlita, those of you, some of you know him, Rabbi Aaron David, and he will, I'm sure, confirm that which I'm telling you. The time we were about 5 years old, my father was makbid that we daven tefillah b'tzibur. 5 years old. And he said, shlep us to shul. I have other brothers who are, shall we say, you might describe them as yeled tuv yerushalayim. They're very good natured. The brother that you know is, I say it, shalom b'fanav, tzadik yisod olam, kimat demalach Hashem tzvakos, minutok v'da'ilam azel v'yamri. Has no connection to this world. That is to say, he still travels on terra firma, but he is living in a different realm. He lives in a different madrega. I have another brother who's a rabbi in a hospital in Chadera. He's also a Malach Hashem Tzvokos, also a big tzaddik in his own way. And those two brothers, they actually complied with my father's Zichron Livracha, and they sat there like nice little tatalis. There was another brother, he's an older brother. He calls himself the black sheep of the family. He's an accountant in Long Beach, New York. And that accountant is the black sheep of the family. He's not a Rav. Three brothers are Rabbanim. One brother is not a Rav. But that brother, I'll just tell you a little bit about him. He's a CPA. Rabbi Mickey Mark happens to like him immensely. Whenever he mentions that brother, he says it's like talking to a computer. He basically is a computer. He's a tax lawyer. He's also an accountant. He knows the entire IRS tax code by heart, every deal in the tax code. He's been audited many, many times. Not once did he lose a situation, because he's like a tremendous Talmud Chacham when it comes to the tax code. He also happens to learn the Daf Yomi three times a day. He learns it in the morning at 5 o'clock, and then in the afternoon in his office. Again, he hears the Daf Yomi from a tape, I believe. And the third time, at night time, he goes to another Shir Daf Yomi. He's been learning it for about 40 years. He's a Kimat Baki Bishas. But he's a balabas, a very simple balabas, as he'll describe himself to you. On a number of occasions, I've been to Long Beach. Long Beach, I'm not talking about California. Long Beach in New York. I think there's a Long Beach in California. Yitzhak.
Yeah.
Anyway, so a Long Beach in New York, and the Rav wasn't there, and he invited me. I was invited to say the Daf Yomi, which I only do once a week on Shabbos. So I'm only a Barbe Rav. The Gemara in the Chagigah speaks about a Barbe Rav, the Chagima. I'm a Barbe Rav. Shall we say, once a week. And that's when I say, usually I try on Friday to learn 6 blot. But the one I learned on Shabbos, I learned Biyun Godel. Now they're learning the Sefer Temura, which is, I really should invite Rabbi Reichman Shlita to give that shiur as opposed to myself, or one of my sons, Tzvi Dov, who also comes here. He's also old in Kachin, the kids are. So my brother invited me a few times, 2 or 3 times. The first time he invited me, I agreed to do it in front of an audience of about 30, 40 people. And then, in the course of the shiur, my brother proceeded to destroy me. literally destroy me on the dock publicly because I'm the Eda. And afterwards I said, why did you embarrass me in such a fashion? He said, what do you mean embarrass you? I'm the black sheep of the family. I have no knowledge of anything. But he's a Baki B'Shah. So I grew up in a family that is very Machshir Limud HaTorah. That's the understatement of the year. My father, Vashom, never went to yeshiva a day in his life. My father was not Zocher to go to yeshiva. My father went to work, actually. My father went to Cooper Union. You may have heard of Cooper Union. We have some Talmidim from this yeshiva. One presently in Cooper Union, one who went to Cooper Union. And my father was really into physics and math. When I was in Yeshiva University, what I did was I would send all my physics problems. I took several courses in physics. And I sent all them to my father, to do it. And he would take care of all my physics problems. And also all my math work I sent him as well. I took several courses in calculus. And what did I do? I stayed in the Beis Medrash and learned. My father was only too happy to do it till he realized what was going on. He thought I was sending it to him just because I had difficulties. That was not so. I figured, since I have someone who's very capable, more capable than I am, so Washington, and my father enjoys it. He used to enjoy doing math and physics and what have you. And all my other work I sent to my mother, La Shalom. So she wrote my papers, and it was actually a tremendous situation. From the earliest I remember, my father, he schlepped us to Minyan, Tefillah B'Tzibur. As I said, there was among the three brothers, there was one rascal, Bes Chatoya Nimaskir Ayom. I didn't exactly appreciate going to Tefillah B'Tzibur at the age of 5. I held it was a shtickle chutzpah. Why should my father schlep me to Tefillah B'Tzibur at the age of 5? By the way, it wasn't just Shachris, it was Shachris Minchan Leib. It's a full compliment. Why should he be missing out? And I didn't exactly enjoy it. At the same time, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my father enjoyed going to Rav Chalap Zatzal. Rav Chalap, Rav Chil Michal Chalap, who is the father of Rav Zul Chalap, Ibad Al-Chaim Aruchim, and the son of Rav Yaakov Meshach Chalap, one of the great tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, one of the great gedolim of Yerushalayim. So he had a son who unfortunately had to leave Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chil Michal, and he actually became a rav in a shul, a very famous shul called the BJC, the Bronx Jewish Center. And I, Mamish, grew up there in the Bronx Jewish Center. And every Shabbos afternoon, he would give a lengthy drasha of approximately 2 hours. He would darshan, his Yiddish was impeccable, his Hebrew was impeccable, and years later, his English became impeccable as well. But at the very outset, I'm talking about in the early 50s, my father used to take me to the drasha. I was 7 years old. I said, what in heaven's name am I going to this drasha? And my father told me, because he wanted me to see Gedolei Yisrael, great tzaddikim, great rabbanim, to be exposed to them, to have a sense of whom they are. These are the Einei Ha'eda. These are the people who direct Klal Yisrael, and these are the people you should have as your models. And that became more or less the entire pattern of my life, those early years of my life, even before I was bar mitzvah. And as a result, I was zocheh to, on a number of occasions, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, he used to actually go around to Malab Malkus. It was really a pitiful thing to see. Rav Moshe Feinstein to go to that door, had to go to Malab Malkus. And I remember the first time I was about 7 years old, I ran over to him. Why? To get his autograph. La'avdil, either was Roger Maris, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Elston Howard, and the like, all those Gedolei Olam, Rashke Bahags of the baseball world. And my father, shall we say, was not very pleased that was my interest in getting the autograph of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Chaval, I don't have it. I should have collected it together with the Topps baseball cards, which usually had a piece of tray for bubblegum in there, which my father would let me eat because it was not kosher. And the moment I used to buy baseball cards, which I did, my father would take away the bubblegum miyad. It looked very, very delectable. And, shall we say, quite appetizing. But chas v'sholem, we should have it, because it was not kosher. Anyway, so my father reacted to that. I remember one Yom Kippur, Ke'ilu, it's right in front of me. And that, those days in Yom Kippur, in the 50s, the New York Yankees, of course, in the schluss of the David family, were always in the World Series. And somehow, for some unbelievable reason, the 7th game, which of course the Yankees are always in, came out always occurred on Yom Kippur. I never understood that correlation. Most of the people in the shul were not too interested in the avodah of Yom Kippur. How many seirim and what avodahs were done by the Kohen Gadol, etc. It didn't exactly interest the people in the 50s. I suspect sometimes even in the year 2012, it doesn't interest too many people, although it really should today, much more, given what we have, all the art scroll generation and all that is available, the Sifta and company. Anyway, so my father felt that we should stay in shul the entire davening for the Aveda. We should be there. And my father actually taught us the Aveda. We actually learned Mishnayis of Yuma when I was 7 or 8 years old. My father taught Mishnayis of Yuma. Went through the entire Avodah a month or so before Yom Kippur, so we should be familiar with it. I can't say I was overly excited about the Avodah at that point in time, but whatever the case is, I had no choice. My father believed in the Gemara Makis, Chesed Shiftei Seine B'nai. V'yayra Shechav Musa, he believed in that, Shutak Mashmo, and fine. So we studied the Mishnayis and Yuma, and then at one point, in the davening, and those who used to daven for us were Balabatim. Balabatim who daven, I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. I remember the people who daven for the Omid. They daven bidmo shlish. They daven, there were tears in their eyes. They daven with such islavus, with such fervor, with such kavana. Of course, these were simple Balabatim. How shall I describe them? One man was the grandfather of Rav Herschel Shechta, and this, he was a tailor, a Schneider. This tailor of the grandfather of Herschel Shechter, the Rosh Shiva in the Rosh Kollel, in Shiva's of Anitz Al-Khanan. So this Schneider used to take over from the Rav, and the Rav wasn't there. And my father told me he was a Baki B'Shas. Baki in Babi Yushalmi in Dal Chashunah. This is the Schneider. And he was not the only one. There were a few others there. There was a gentleman who davened for the Yomid. There was a tremendous Bal Kishrin. Also, he was a person, actually, he was a plumber. That plumber is Dov's grandfather. Dov Kapinski, he used to be here. Remember that fellow? When you would call up the yeshiva.
This is Dov, the secretary.
Anyway, so the when you call the yeshiva, so Dov's grandfather, Mr. Kapinski, he was the one who used to pinch our cheeks. Matter of fact, I still have a welt on one of my cheeks from the days that he gave me Aknech. This Mr. Kapinski, this plumber, very strong person, Baki B'Shas, Tam Chochem Otzum, that's what I remember. These were the Balabatim who, shall we say, frequented the Young Israel of Tremont and also Bronx Jewish Center, BJC. I dabbled in a few other shuls. I dabbled in the KI with Rabbi Ziv. I got to know Rabbi Ziv. That was very good because in Yeshiva University, I took several Hebrew courses. He was known as Dr. Hook, Zechen Lebracha. He only gave C's. But because I dabbled in his shul, I was the only one who received an A in every course. I didn't have to show up at the course. It was great as well. And I received, actually took 3 courses with him, got 3 A's. And he actually taught me Diktuk. I learned Diktuk with Dr. Ziv, Zechen Lebracha. And so we davened in those shuls, the KI, that was his shul, Kilat Israel. So my father was very into, he had tremendous dacharet for Rabbanim. But just want to give you a sense of what my father was. My father would come to shul every morning, an hour before they started. Why? Because my father said we have to reach the rites in brachas, chasinim harishonim, harishonim shachas. We have to prepare to daven. We can't just walk into davening. My father would come an hour before, not just for shachas. For Mincha, also my father would be at least a half hour before. For Maariv, a half hour before. And guess who had to come along with him? Yours truly. We weren't simply allowed to. We couldn't understand what exactly were we doing there. Why do we have to come a half hour before? My father said, it says in the Mishnah, Chasinim HaRishonim, it's a Mechaben Shulchan Aruch. What is with you? What do you mean, what's with me? What exactly am I going to do during that half hour, whatever it may be? Meanwhile, what would my father do? He spent all his days repairing all the sperm in the shul that were torn. No one appointed him to do the job. He was self-appointed. My father, the moment any rub would come to the shul, my father would start running. I never saw anything like it. He would start running as if this person, that rub, is the most significant VIP in the world. The cover of the achet that we saw, that my father and my mother, alayim ha-shalom, showed for Rabbanim and great tzaddikim. And it was not possible for a moment that someone would walk out when the Rav went up to speak, or the Rav of the Shul, or any other Rav came to speak. I was held down, shall we say, kimat, with manacles, in order to make sure that I remained there. That how could you walk out when the Rav speaks? Today, of course, on the contrary, the minhag today is that everyone leaves. On the contrary, who stays? Whoever stays is obviously what they call a friar, or if you will, adult, or a dullard, or someone who's clearly lacking, shall we say, some gray matter is missing upstairs. My father did not come from that kind of generation. There are parents called the Torah, whether you understood the Rav or didn't understand the Rav, whether you were 40 years old or 25 years old or 7 years old, there are parents demand that you say, even if you understand a word of what the Rav is saying. And we stayed there. We had no choice. Those are my earliest memories of my father. This is all before my bar mitzvah. All before my bar mitzvah. I happen to have a grandfather. My father, Zochen Livracha, was born in Greece. And Bechazdei Agolol Shel Ribono Shel Olam, because of Hashem's great chesed, he was able to escape Greece before the First World War as a very young child. And matter of fact, my father used to wake me up in Chedesh Elul. Chaval, Rabbi Shavuot is not here. We would love to hear this. My father used to wake up us in Chedesh Elul. We went to Slichas at 3 o'clock in the morning, every single day. Because my grandfather was a rabbi in the shul. But unfortunately, he spoke Greek, and it was all Greek to me. Whatever the case is, he used to wake us up at 3 o'clock in the morning, all of us, and we used to go daven Slichas. At 3 o'clock in the morning, my father didn't understand what the issue is. What's the havinina not to go? There's a masira that you have to follow. And matter of fact, my father was quite upset when we went to Ashkenazi day schools, and my grandfather was so angry at my father that he sent us to an Ashkenazi day school. He came out and didn't talk to him for months. He said, you send him to those Ashkenazim, that'll be the end of him. And that's what happened. But we never really practiced his fatherly heritage, because my mother, Aleh Shalom, her origins are from Vilna, and she was the dominant personality in the family. And my grandmother, actually, who was born in Vilna, my grandmother knew, actually, Rav Nochum Persovitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva. And actually, when I was zochet to meet Rav Nochum, I actually went to Rav Nochum Shir and Yavamis in 1971-72 for one full year. They learned Yavamis that year in the Yeshiva, in the Mir. And then when my brother, Rav Aaron David Shlita, became a chosen a number of years later, so I was here. And we all went, my parents and myself and my brother in Chadera, went to meet Chaim Shulevitz, Datzal and Rav Nochum. And Rav Nochum actually remembered my grandmother, and there was a conversation about her. And then Rav Chaim also said to my parents, that in the Mir Yeshiva there's a Musa Seder, but there's no real need to have a Musa Seder. You can give an akuk of Aaron David, does it genug. You take a look at Rav Aaron David, that's your Musa Seder right there. And there's a really a pella how my brother got into the Mir Yeshiva. That's also a big pella, because he didn't exactly come from a Yeshivish background. But there was a Rav who happened to be outside at that moment, Rav Dvorzitz. And Rav Dvorzitz is the son-in-law of Rav Moshe Roizen, the Nezer HaKadosh. And so because he was there, and he's a Mira, he lived in Shanghai, he also lived in the Mir Yeshiva, and he was a seventh grade Rebbe. I won't talk about him because he was very physical, to say the least. He was a short little fella. And the first day I remember someone misbehaved, and I said, Kumda, he told the fellow, come here. And the fellow was about a foot and a half taller than Rav Dvorzitz. And Rav Dvorzitz said, Kumda, the fellow came. All of a sudden he jumped up and did a 1-2 with both hands on both cheeks. So after that we learned, of course, to Schos on the Zero, the Kamach on the Sikra. Whatever the case is, these were the Rabbanim that I was associated with as a very young man. And I had a Rebbe, Rav Chaim Shershevsky. Rav Chaim Shershevsky was a goy nadir. I only really discovered it when I heard Rav Chaim Shulevitz Maspidim. We said a hesped for him, and here in Eretz Yisrael, I was here also. I used to come every year to Eretz Yisrael for many, many years. And Rav Chaim Shershevsky was a goy, Pasha the goy. He was my 8th grade Rebbe, had a major influence on my life. Major, both in terms of learning, and also in terms of the way he davened, Bechlal B'Zol HaNhoga, was one that just kula oime covered. Okay, all this is by way of a shtickle introduction to what I want to get to, which I think it's important to understand where I'm coming from, what my father was all about, and it's a different generation today. That's the understatement of the year, to say the least. I was zeichet to meet many, many rabbonim in the course of my youth. I'm talking about before my bar mitzvah. Before my bar mitzvah, I used to see Rav Moshe Feinstein on an ongoing basis. And years later, when my Rebbe, at least in Alpazatzal, when he was my Rebbe, and he was actually my Rebbe for about 20 years. I had a kesher with Adisan Alper for approximately 20 years. I didn't move without him. I think Benjamin, you probably know who he was. He lived in the Lower East Side. He was actually a chavrusa of David Feinstein. As a matter of fact, I heard, and I actually clarified this with David Feinstein. I asked him, I go to David Feinstein once a year to ask him all my steers from Amesha Tubas and Ibis Mesha. And so, there's a Balabasa Mashul, Mr. Zygmunt, he's a Kayan, I don't know if you remember him, Rabbi Apfel. So, a very nice fellow. He's the same age as Rav David Feinstein, about 85 or so. And so, he told me the following, but I knew about this, so it was not a chiddush to me. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to give a shiur, his main shiur was once a week, on Friday. It was the Marocha, which later on became the Sefer Dibros Moshe, those fat, fat svarim that four people in the world look at. Maybe five. Whatever the case is, one of them is a Herschel Shachter. You know, he just gobbles everything up. And then Rabbi Feinstein himself is familiar, Rabbi Yisrael Apple is familiar with the Dibbis Meshach, he heard the Shurim, and there are a few others. Okay, let me cut this off. But whatever the case is, so Rabbi Meshach is to give that shir, the Maroch, on Friday for about 3 hours. So who prepared for that shir? Everyone. He prepared a whole week for that shir. So Rabbi Feinstein and Rabbi Yisrael Apple used to learn Mechabrusa together for many, many years. And how did they learn? They started on Thursday morning, they learned the entire day, and then the entire night, they stayed up, the entire night of Thursday all day, Thursday night, all night, and then he came to the shir. And after the shir was over around midday, they had mincha, and then they went to play handball. I don't know if you know, anyone knows what handball is? Yeah. Growing up in the streets of New York, or do you play against the wall, you know the walls? Yeah. There's stickball, there's handball, that's what I grew up on, stickball and handball. The kids, they used to play handball. And then Friday night came, Shabbos, and then after the meal, they both collapsed. This went on for 20 years. Kach Amali, and Mr. Ziegman, that's how he described to me, and everyone used to observe this phenomena of these two learning all day, Masmidim Shein Kamo, both Rav David Feinstein and Nissan Alpin, Zechen Levracha. So that's really what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about something related to the Parsha Kisisa, which to me is probably one of the most fundamental yesodos of my life, and I think, again, in a small way, perhaps we were Zochah, my family, to be exposed to great Gedolei Yisrael. And as a result, Baruch Hashem, I think we were put on the right derech at a very young age. You notice in the Parsha Tetzaveh, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. There's a subject of a lot of discussion among the Mefarshim, the Sifsei Chacham at the very beginning of the Parsha, many others as well talk about it. In Kisisa, I didn't count, because I am computer, I am technologically deficient, illiterate, and inept. So I didn't count the number of times the name of Moshe Rabbeinu occurs in Kisisa, but it seems to me it occurs many, many times. And perhaps in this Sedra, again, you'd have to check, you probably could do it miyad, his name is mentioned more often than in the Sedra. And it always troubled me. I asked my father to show him this question, and my father told me the reason is, and I heard something similar from Rav Soloveitchik in Boston, I believe in 1981, that they both pointed out, in this parsha, Moshe becomes the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. The Torah Shebal Peh was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. In Yisrael, the Psukim speak of Torah Shebetzav. It says, K'sov l'chos ha'dvarim ha'ele, ki al-pi ha'dvarim ha'ele karati yitchabris v'yes Yisrael. And the fact of the matter is that the Gemara says, and this is a famous Gemara that you're all familiar with, or should be familiar with, the Gemara says, lo koras ha'kodesh baruch hu bris in Yisrael, Ela al Torah Shebal Peh. It's a Gemara in Gittin, Gemara Daf Samach. That the Torah Shebal Peh really is where the bris between Klal Yisrael and Hashem Yisbarach was consummated. And how do we transmit Torah Shebal Peh? The answer is only through a Rebbe. We live in a generation today where we have everything. We have Mesifta, that's the brown one. And then we have, that's not Mesifta, but we have Rabbi Olshan, I believe, last year gave it out, Maseches Makis. And we have the blue one, what's that called? And then we have Oscroll. What?
Chabrusa.
I'm not so familiar with any of these stories. I don't use them too much. And then we have the blue one. And then we have Oscroll. And then we have Rabbi Steinsaltz. And then we have, I think there are others as well. And what's so amazing to me, and then we also have virtual, this virtual side, and that virtual side, and the third virtual side. That's all you know about computers, is that everything is virtual. And unfortunately, the entire Torah has become virtual. And we have, to a large extent, forgotten entirely what it means to learn Torah properly with Amol Shel Torah, with Yigiyah Shel Torah, and we have no concept of a Rebbe, no concept of a Masorah, no concept of a Kabbalah, and there's no question that even though Torah Shebichsav is celebrated on Shavuos, the Yom of Shavuos, the Torah Shebichsav, Yom Kippur is Torah Shebal Peh, and it was given to Moshe by the second Luchos. This gave Moshe the opportunity to become the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael. Without Torah Shebal Peh, there's no concept of a Rebbe. It's very significant to learn Tanakh, no question about it. That the Gemara says, and Chazal says, and the Rashi says in Kisisa, "Va'itel Moshe gechaloisa l'davri alito v'harsina shnei luchos ha'edus." Says Rashi, every time a chacham has to be mekusha v'chadal kishutin, with 24 kishutin, that is the 24 svarim of Tanakh. Everyone has to know Tanakh well. Again, as I mentioned many, many times, every Purim, I didn't do it this Purim, but I do it about every other Purim. I like to test Rabbi Nevinsol to see how well he knows Tanakh. Although 2 years ago I tested him on Masechas Hurius. I had a Gemara right in front of me. I asked him to start with Daf Hey and tell me over all the tests. I started from Daf Hey, Kasha Teres, Kasha Teres, Kasha Teres. He did it quite well. I think he received an A. He needs my Bechina. I take this, maybe it's a shikl chutzpah by my part, but I want to show the people I bring Balabati with me, to show them what it means to know Kol HaTorah Kula literally in your pocket. And how many times, I met someone last night, an older Jew, a man in his, must be close to 90, and he told me that he remembers when Rav Levitzel learned with Chavrusa Rav Shlomo Zalman. They learned together for 40 years. So I asked him, what exactly did they do as far as you know? This is the Belz Yerushalmi. He told me they learned Shas together. I said, how many times did they learn Shas together? He told me, Asrog Pa'amim, tens and tens of times. Rav Shlomo Zalman learned Shas with Rav Levitzel. When I asked Rav Levitzel, I said, Harav, Shamati, that he was a Chavrusa of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said, Chavrusa, David, I need Aiti Tolat Bakir. That's how he describes himself. He was a flea on the wall with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. And this kind of connection to a Rebbe, and if you know anything about Rav Levitzel, when he speaks about Rav Shlomo Zalman, he never calls him the way we call Rav Moshe, Kilo, on a first name basis. Never did I hear Rav Levitzel Shlita call Rav Shlomo Zalman Rav Shlomo Zalman. What does he call him? Maran Harav. There's such a pachad, such a yira, such a, I don't know how to describe it. My Rebbe Rav Nissim Alpert never called Rav Moshe Rav Moshe. Never. I had a keshe with Rav Nissim Alpert for 20 years. 20 years. Never once did he call Rav Moshe Rav Moshe. What did he call him? The Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva. The Rosh Hashiva. I heard even something else, I'm afraid to say, Ad Kedei Kach, but I was there to see Rav Nissim Alpert with Rav Moshe many, many times, and I saw how he was mishamishim, mind-boggling. I partially didn't even know how to deal with it. The Gemara says in Brachas, Deila Shimusha Shal Torah Yesim Limuda. The mishamish, a great Talmud Chacham, a Gadol Hador. There's nothing comparable to it. And without Tosha Baal Peh, there's no comparable Rebbe. It's difficult to achieve scholarship alumnus without a Rebbe. You can achieve it. You are what the Gemara calls a Megillah, maybe Gemara over here. You're a virtual Talmud Chacham, or I call them Chamor Nesisfahim. You're basically a donkey. You happen to be filled with a lot of information. You have a lot of book knowledge. But you're a Chamor, basically. You know, there was used to be a TV program. I'm not so into TV. I didn't have a TV. It was always broken. We had a broken TV. My mother, Hashem, refused to fix it. Harav Lebowski, how do you explain that? She refused to fix it. And so we grew up without TV. I saw four movies in my life, maybe five. I think I mentioned this already many times. I can't remember that. People ask me which ones I saw. The Ten Commandments, that's for sure I saw that.
Sound of Music.
The Sound of Music?
Yeah, the Sound.
Sound of Silence.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Fiddler on the Roof. That's right.
Sound of Music.
The Guns of Navarro. That's the one that was a lot
sound
of action.
Sound of Music without the music.
That's right. Sound of Music without the music.
The sound.
Why?
The
sound. Because of Shiloh Kalisha. Whatever the case is, whatever the case is, my father wouldn't like you talking. He listened to a Kalisha. How's such a thing possible? So the music was turned off. The volume was turned off. Well, the tachas of all that basically. Anyway, I was about to say, so I saw Rav Nissim Alpert many times with his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Feinstein Gatzal. The moment he would see Rav Moshe, he would start running for his life. I started to like it. I was walking with him many times. He started running for his life, Rav Nissim Alpert. Why? To be Mishamash Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was carrying something quickly. He would take the sarong from him. I saw him once put Rav Moshe's galoshes on. He put Rav Moshe, didn't want him to put his galoshes on. Rav Nissim Alpert insisted on putting the galoshes on Rav Moshe. Galoshes refer to rubbers. Boots, those things you put on your legs during rain or whatever it may be. I saw the same, by the way, by Abraham Lichtenstein, the brother of Chaim Arukim, when he would see the Rav from a distance, two blocks away, Rav Aaron would start galloping. Wow, unbelievable. Galloping beyond belief. I can only describe it. He's an athlete. He's an athlete, not such an athlete. But what I saw in my life, the way Talmid Chacham of Mishamish, the Rabbein, and the Derecheres they had for them, one cannot become a Talmud Chacham without a Rebbe. It's hard to find a person who's self-taught, who became a Gadol, the Yisrael was able to teach others, and the reason is because of this element of Shimush. Deila Shimusha Shalteri Yesim Yehuda. Soloveitchi was very fond of pointing out that all of Pirkei Avos is based on this concept of Shimush. Hu Ya'imeh is a famous drasha, which is published, that the Rav delivered, and he pointed out, Hu Ya'imeh Magal of Apume, but in reality, what is it? You are observing your Rebbe, how he behaves, how he deports, how he comports himself, how he deports himself, how he carries himself, And based on that, that's how you know how to behave. I'm very fond of a Ramban. This Ramban I heard from Rabbi Ruchem Gwelich. I had a shaykh with Rabbi Ruchem Gwelich for a number of years. To my chagrin and to my, I don't know how to describe it. I was a rabbi in a shul where he davened in that shul. Never for me, that's all I can tell you. And everything I said was examined under a microscope. Those are the years that I was a roommate with Chaim, with Rav Chaim Milson, Shlita. Anyway, so that was also what they would say in Hebrew, Siyut Bifatzmo. So Rabbi Yochanan Gwelich told me over many, many years ago, as a result of a drasha that I said in shul. So he didn't like that drasha. He didn't like it at all. And he reminded me of that drasha for the next 4 years, of what I said. And he told me over the Ramban, which I'll never forget for the rest of my life. The Ramban in Kisisa, also in this week's parsha, Ramban describes Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua ben Nun both descended from the mountain. Both have the same perspective, and yet they're two different reactions. What's the reaction of Yeshua ben Nun? He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Mechom Mevamachaneh. And what is, shall we say, Moshe Rabbeinu say? Kol Anos, Anochi Shomea. And Rashi quotes from the Unculus, Kol Chirufim V'Gilufim Klapi Mala. There's blasphemous behavior going on here. In fact, the Ramban, what's going on? They're both the same perspective. How's it Yeshua sees one thing and Moshe Rabbeinu sees something else? Ramban quotes in Medrash. Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu manig Yisrael hoya, umakir binigune hakeles. Moshe Rabbeinu could recognize the Nigin. The Nigin was one of Vayar Sa'egel umakeles. The Nigin was Vayar Moshe Sa'om kifaruahu. They were wild. They were out of control. They were simply in a state of being, shall we say, discombobulated. And Yeshua did not pick that up. Why? Because Yeshua at that point in time had not yet reached the Madrega of Shimush, of total Shimush, where he would know how to interpret what was happening. Rav Soloveitchik said in another occasion, in that drasha, he pointed out that the reason why the one who replaced the Baal Shem Tov was whom? Who replaced the Baal Shem Tov? The Magid of Mezrich. Here we have Chassidus Yeshiva, and so we should know these things. So the Magid of Mezrich, he was the one who replaced the Baal Shem Tov, not the biggest Talmud Chacham. Who was the biggest Talmud Chacham? Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Mipolanya. He was the greatest Talmud Chacham, unquestionably. He didn't replace him. Why? Because the Magid of Mezrich was the one who mishamish the Baal Shem Tov. He was, and Chazal say, Deila Shimusha Shalteri Yosef Lehuda. Unfortunately today, it's hard to be mishamish Rabbeim. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to become attached to a particular Rebbe, but unquestionably, one sees from this Pasha Kisisa, this idea. The idea, and the Pasuk says very clearly, V'yashua b'nu nar lo yomish v'techayel. That's this week's Pasha. It's a Taisin Ksubis. It's a Gemara in Brachas. And that's why probably the Torah says that ki koran or panov, u'moshe lo yoda ki koran or panov. The Karni Or, the Moshe Rabbeinu was Zochetu, the light that he radiated, that is exactly what the Pasha is talking about. The answer is, in Tarshi Bechsav, when a person studies Mikra, even though you can study Mikra Be'iyun, and you should study Mikra Be'iyun, of course it should be studied properly, Be'iyun. But there, in Tarshi Bechsav, the personality of Moshe Rabbeinu was not identified with that of the Torah. Karni Or Panav implies that Moshe Rabbeinu absorbed the Torah in his personality, became a living Sefer Torah, a Sefer Torah Chai, he personified the Sefer Torah, the way the Beis Halevi writes, that this kind of merger or identification with Torah cannot be achieved through Torah Shebichsav, only through Torah Shebichsav. Moshe Rabbeinu acquires a Kedusha Guf. He acquires an inherent Kedusha. He becomes a Kadosh. Rav Soloveitchik has a famous drasha where he elaborates. The drasha was delivered in Yiddish, but then it was translated into Hebrew by Rav Shalom Karmi, namely, Hayuhudi Mashul Ki Sefer Torah. He's many, many rayas how a Jew is compared to a Sefer Torah. And the only way that one could somehow connect with the Sefer Torah is the Torah Shebichsav. It's not possible with the Torah Shebichsav. Even though it says, and I have many rayas, I was actually, all this was like a shtickel hakdama to really what I want to say. I prepared a lot more, but I guess I'm not allowed to deliver it at this point in time. Although I can, Rabbi Olshan's not here. Whatever the case is, I just want to mention the Goyin, actually, they say towards the end of his life, the Goyin knew Torah Shebaal Peh so well that he spent all of his time trying to show how the Torah Shebaal Peh is embedded in Torah Shebichsav. That's how well you have to know Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. You have to know it inside out, backwards and forwards. And it only comes, of course, through Amolah Shel Torah It only comes through unbelievable yigia. I remember, again, referring to my Rabbeim, that I recall that I was zechut to see on Nisan Alpert, he sat in yeshiva all day and all night. At one point, actually, Rabbi Reichman, he attempted to drive. He, Rabbi Nisan Alpert, was not exactly from the Doliha Nehagim Shebedoreno. And he used to drive him, actually, from the Lower East Side. He used to pick him up on the Lower East Side and bring him to the yeshiva, bring him to Yeshiva University to say the Shia, and he would stay there till the wee hours of the morning. Mamish told 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I had no difficulty hocking him at Chinik at wee hours as well, even when I left the yeshiva and I was already working. And I used to call him up at any hour that I decided I needed someone to talk to, or advice from someone, I would call him up. I think I mentioned this, that recently, maybe a year or so ago, when the yeshiva, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Shashem Yirapiel, Sarufur Shlema, Yibadol Chaim Arukim, when his wife was Nifta. So I went to Menachem Avol. I have to know Rav Simcha Scheinberg, the son of Rav Scheinberg, and also I have to know someone else who was also sitting Shiva, namely Rav Nisan Alper's wife. She was the daughter of Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. So I went to Menachem her, and not to her really, but I went to her brother, Rav Simcha Scheinberg. The moment I walked in, she tells her brother says to his sister, "Do you know who this is?" So she says, "I certainly do know who that is. Don Tutin, I know who it is." So I says, so he says to her, "Who is he?" "He's the Nundik. He used to call my husband at 2 o'clock in the morning." I thought that was such a gewaltige shiva. What a compliment! I took it as a gewaltige compliment. That's how she introduced me as a Nundik. Anyway, Baruch Hashem, the way to connect to Torah is to connect to a Rebbe. Asel l'charav. You don't have a Rebbe. You know what you are? A Falorina! You know what Falorina means? Yitzhak, from Los Angeles, from California. Falorina means you are lost. That's it. It's over. Without a Rebbe, you will never be Matzliach. You'll never be able to go anywhere. You'll never be able to move ahead. So what do you mean? All day long, I'm... What do they call that? Everyone walks around with these...
Headphones.
I'm hotwired. You're all hotwired. All day and all night. Ki'ilu, people are listening to Shi'urim, Kalayim, Kalayla. Ki'ilu. Is that what they're doing, Moshe?
Of course.
And sure enough. Baruch Hashem. Better to get hotwired to a Rebbe. Better to, as shall we say, have the ionic bonding with a Rebbe. That's from my days in chemistry. Organic. Nebuch, we had to take organic chemistry. We took it at 11 o'clock at night, Rabbi Apfel. We made the Dean, Zechen Zebrach, Dean Bacon crazy, because I wanted to learn during the day, and also have a night seder. So we told him that we have to have organic chemistry only at 11 o'clock at night. He thought we were off our rockets. He was right. And so we hired a woman, because we got seven guys together, and she was a classic, a Shefa. She didn't like us, and we didn't like her. It was Gabaldic. And the class went from 11 to 2, and with the lab, somehow never worked out. 2 a.m. What's the problem? It's the middle of the day. Anyway, so the and we used to call her Mecha Shefa Lo Yisachaya. Anyway, it's not a very good situation, but we had no choice. We had to take organic. What can we do? Why should it interfere with my learning?
2 a.m.
That would not be a good thing. I remember when I was introduced to this story, I also told many times when I was 13 years old, I decided to learn with my Chavrusa, who's a very Choshev Tam Chochem today, to learn Rav Chaim Briska and Rambam, to do Rav Chaim Alevi. I couldn't read Aleph Beis, basically. I couldn't read the Pasuk of Chumash. Anyway, so I went and learned the Old Beis in YU, the high school building. I used to learn there at nighttime. And there was a gentleman there, Rabban Kreiser, the Chassid of Bracha. And I had a problem with the first Rav Chaim, the first Rambam I didn't understand. So I went up to Rabban Kreiser and asked him, "Could you tell me Pshat in this Rambam, in this Rav Chaim, the first Rav Chaim Alevi, in the Chiddush Rav Chaim Alevi?" So he looks at me like I'm some sort of a crazy man, and he starts making faces at me, all kinds of very interesting things, and then he tells me, "Kumda, come with me." He takes me to the bookshelf, and he's looking, and then he found the sefer he's looking for. It's called Reishis Das. Now Reishis Das is the sefer that I learned Aleph Beis from. That's how they taught me Aleph Beis. It has, you know, the pictures like you do with your children, or like you probably also learned. I don't know if you use Reishis Das. It has a picture of the Aleph, a picture of the Beis, and the Gimels, and the Dalas, and then found the Nikud. Ah, ba, ga, ga, da, da, ha, ha, etc., etc. He says, he tells me to start learning, to start reading. I said, "What do you mean start reading? This is for little children. This is for 4-year-old children, 3-year-old children." I'm a 13-year-old great Talmud Chacham. I learned Rav Chaim Halevi. What is exactly, what's the nature of his ailment? What's his problem? And so he proceeded to tell me, Lane, in Yiddish. He told me, read. So I said, Aleph. Oh, he says, they are good. You're making progress. Go to the next page. Now read, ba, ga. Oh, the Malik, he says to me, you're really good. He says, Dosidach, this is where you are. This is where you're holding. Abchai Malevi, then them Sefer, oh, he's following the Gansi. Throughout that Sefer from the street, you're holding by Abagada. Boy, was I ready to shoot him, kill him, obviously pulverize him, put him away.
Brown belt him.
Yes, I could have done that too. Since we both have a brown belt in karate, whatever the case is, that's because I grew up in the Bronx. What can I do? And at a certain point, by the chassid in kolaritz, by tesha haaretz. Anyway, so we have to defend ourselves. The kids, sir, we had no choice. So I was furious. I didn't talk to Rabbi Aaron Kreiser for 6 months. Every time I saw him in Beis Medrash at nighttime, we would go on Rabbi Chaim Halevi. We didn't say a word. We go on Rabbi Chaim Halevi. I would. And he would give me also a similar kind of face. And afterwards, I realized that I'm pretty foolish. This guy obviously knows something. And as a result, I became very close to Abraham Kreiser. Amazing thing, really. And how you finally get some seichel in your head and realize that you are a blankety-blank silly billy, immature, little, what should we call you? Lilliputian. Whatever the case is. And finally you have some seichel. And because of that, I got, years later, Rabban Kreis actually moved to Lakewood, New Jersey, and he used to come on Friday night. He davened by the alumni. I went to Lakewood for many years. My brother was a friend of Rachel, passed away this year, unfortunately. He worked for Art School. I lived in Lakewood. I used to visit him every Pesach and Sukkot. He spent all Pesach and Sukkot there. Because I was very close to my wife's sister's husband. He wrote for Art School for many years, and I'll just tell you another story while I'm at it. Since my shvager, my brother-in-law, had many. He wrote on Kalim for Art School. He wrote 1,500 pages on Kalim for Art School, two volumes. Anyone familiar with the Mishnayos of Kalim for Art School? So anyway, so he asked me about 7 years ago. I should go around. And I said, so he had many kashas on Kalim that bothered him. So he asked me to go around to a number of gedolim. I went to Chaim Kanievsky, and on the spot, Chaim Kanievsky wrote the answer to the questions in his usual brief kind of fashion. And then I went to another gedol, Chaval. I don't remember this gedol's name. In Bnei Brak, there were three or four gedolim. I have a brother-in-law in Bnei Brak. He told me where to go, where to find this person. He is on some little shul somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Mamish, the outskirts of Bnei Brak, a very, very poor section, very poor area. There's a fellow sitting there, an older man, and I asked him, I heard that he understands the Taurus, and that's his area, one of his areas, and he looks at me like I'm another crazy guy. And I said, my brother-in-law's writing on Art Scroll. He didn't know what Oscar was. Never heard of Oscar. What's Oscar? I said, he didn't have a clue. I said, Schottenstein. He says, Mise. He said, Mise Schottenstein. You know, Schottenstein, no Oscar, no Gomish. And he said, I have questions on Caleb. He says, where are they? So I give him the questions. And he says, he looks at his watch. He says, come back 4 hours from now, 5 hours from now, whatever it is. Okay, so I went to visit my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law and took a tour of Bnei Brak while I'm at it, a few other things, and had myself a nice lunch while I'm at it. Then I came back 5 hours later. He presented me with a 14-page kuntras, answering all these kashas on Caleb. My shvager told me his was the best. Of all the 20 people he sent to, his was the most makif, and he gave answers. He answered them on the spot. Pashu kilu, Jews who know Kol HaTorah Kula, including Maseches Caleb. How does that come from? You know where it comes from? Amol Shatera! It doesn't come from Papagayos! Kol HaYom Kol HaLayla. That's for sure now. Yeah. Of course, it wasn't lovely. Chas v'sholom, I should accuse you of that. God forbid. Papagayos. That's what I look forward to in my life. Papagayos. When I come here to Bezen Shomali after 120 years, they're going to ask me, Harav David, did you go to Papagayos? That's in the list. They're listed in the Gemara Shabbos. Kavati Gematino, Asakta, Bepir Verubia, Tzipisa, Le'emuna, etc., etc. One of the questions is, question number one is, he got on the Papagayos? It's in a different gear, sir, that you probably don't have. So that's where we're holding. We get drunk on Purim, Baruch Hashem, Gevaldik. Outstanding. And then we come on Agatkes to the house of Rabbi. Gevaldik! Outstanding! We have a Vajet Teira, Takibar Tzadhebet. Actually, learned it yesterday. Gevaldik. And with this, we're going to come to Bezen Shalom Mata. And they're going to accept us, welcome us with open arms. I'm not against Papatayos, Daniel. Don't get the wrong idea. I like to eat also, Baruch Hashem. But one of the things the Torah is nicked that when there's Miyu Tainim, that's what it says in my Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, one of the 48 Memches Dvarav. Okay, so that's what I was going to talk about today, a little bit. The Memches Dvarav Shatem, it's by him. I like it. Not all of them, just one of them. And I'm not sure I'm able to. But one of them, which I really spoke about, was Shimush Chachamim, having a Rebbe. That's one thing that I was zecher to in my years. I tried to have a Rebbe. I tried to be connected to a Rebbe, and I was zecher to be connected. I can't say I was connected to Rav Soloveitcher, even though I followed him around for many years in many different places. I went to Moriah Shiurim. Moriah was a shul that had me set shiurim for 13 years. I didn't miss a shiur. I wouldn't miss a shiur of the Rav. I missed one shiur of the Rav one summer. One summer I missed a shiur, where the Rav said on Christmas. No, I missed the shiur. My wife broke her leg. She decided to plant tomatoes in Providence, Rhode Island at a ledge, and she fell down. And she broke her leg, which is terrible, obviously. And I took my wife to the doctor, an orthopedic surgeon, and we had all the legs taken care of and what have you. And then I told my wife after that, her leg is in traction, she's up there like this. I said, I'm going to the shiur. She said, are you crazy? That time my kids were very young. This is in, when was this? Late 70s, I think. I don't remember the exact year. But my kids were very, very young. I said, I have to go to the shiur. How can I miss a shiur of the Rav? A shiur on Krisus. Krisus. It didn't make a difference if we say a shiur of the Rav and Asher Yotzah had come there. Whatever the case is, a shiur on Krisus. How can I miss that? My wife said, look at me, with my leg up in traction. I said, what's the problem? It'll be a few hours. I'll be right back. Right back means goes Providence to Providence, Rhode Island. There's a city called Providence, New England. What would you know, you New Yorkers? They think there's no Yiddish guy outside of New York City. Yitzhak, do you hear this? They think there's no Jews outside New York City.
There's an outside.
And the answer is, the only authentic Jews are those that live outside New York City. The only normal ones. The only normal ones. And we need more than the yeshiva.
Just an outside of New York City? Didn't even know there was one.
He thinks he's as funny as you.
Not quite.
So he's in traction. And at the end of the day, I didn't go. I was wrestling with myself. What did I do? I called Nissan Alpes, that's all. I asked him, what should I do? You hear this? What is that? Avisha David, I'm a shugana. Yeah, the answer is yes. I called him, asked him what to do. He told me, what's the suffix? Oh, I said, you mean I should go? He says, that's for sure if you go. You are a pashut oismensch. You're not a human being. You're not a Jew. You are something else. I won't say what he said. I didn't go. I always listened to my rabbi. What did I do the next day? I collected 13 notebooks. Pashut, I was worried maybe I might be missing a epsa nekuda, even a joke. How can I miss a joke of the Rav, or a story, or a knetch, or a diuk? Or a nuance, or an inference. I didn't miss one shiur in 13 years. I don't say it. I don't say it because of, shall we say, braggadocio. There's a town in Arkansas called Braggadocio, Arkansas. I passed them on my way once to Memphis, Tennessee. I was going to a chassid in Memphis. We passed and we stopped at a little town, and they asked me, "What is that beanie on your head?" A one street town, one of these main street with a gas station and what have you. Shalom Aleichem, you're invited in! Oh, nice to see you! I was getting worried, I thought you wanted to be kind of the Chazal, Kitin Kabarech, Mesa Sefer. Whatever the case is, the Amon Shabbos, Amban. Good, Baruch Hashem, nice to have you. Hashem, to give you a Tzloch and Bracha. Anyway, so I didn't go, but I had to collect 13 notebooks in order to make sure I didn't miss one breath of what our Soloveitcher said. Anyway, I'm just trying to give you a sense of what. Oh, you know where I got all this from? My father's a chayim. That's where I came from. So I'm blaming him. Bidin kabinis avicha v'asimecha, mechabda b'chaya, mechabda lachamisei. And my father was a tremendous role model. My mother also, Alea Shoma, tremendous role model. I'll just end with one story. Is that all right? I told over the story too. There was a famous sefer that came out against the Igros Moshe. Called Man of the Igris. And that sefer is written by Goy. I met him actually, three or four times in my life. A Goy Nadir, he passed away not long ago. He wrote other things too. But it was not written in a very Bakovedic fashion. He wrote about Ramesh, this is Ramesh's Chuvas, and each Chuva, he takes 300 Chuvas, he disagrees with them, and certainly there's Makam Lachok and Ramesh's Chuvas, but he does so without their Cheretz. He calls Ramesh Pesi, Shaita, Pitlay Ployin now, Azar Odom Gogol could speak about Ramesh in such terms. So I'm in the store, the day he came out, and the Lower East Side, which is one of my favorite, I used to frequent the Lower East Side quite often, and I come into the store, I see that sefer, it looks exactly like Rabbi Moshe Feinstein sefer. Anyone who saw it, maybe Rabbi Rashi is familiar with it, it's exactly the same publisher who published the Igros Moshe, Balshin Publishing, published that too, and the same font, is that what they call it, font?
Yes.
Anyway, so I decided I got to buy it, looks like another Igros Moshe. Then I open it up, it says Mani Igros. I said, well, Rabbi Moshe wrote a new sefer called Mani Igros. I see it's not my Moshe, but it's very similar. But then I start seeing the Lashonos, I paled. I literally turned white. I couldn't believe it. So I didn't know what to do. Should I buy it? Should I not buy it? Oh, who do I see a moment later in the store? I need some help, that's all. I was at the same time. I was there. So I asked my Rebbe, should I buy it? Chas v'sholom, he told me. Chas v'sholom, you should buy that sefer. Chas v'sholom. And he said some other things as well. Along the way. So I was debating with myself, should I listen to my Rebbe? And I listen to my Rebbe. I said, how could I not listen to my Rebbe? I never in my life not listen to my Rebbe. Are you talking? How's that possible? So I listened to him. I didn't buy him. I've been sorry about that for the last don't worry about it. I have a copy of it anyway. Let me show you. The sefer went into Chayim the next day. It was mukhram from the shelves. It was removed. All the Dali Yisrael came out against it. The Hechrima was there, as they should have, etc., etc. And it was crazy, crazy. And then I asked Adisa Nalpa, what's going on here? So he told me the following story. This person, after he wrote the sefer, and it was Mukhram, he was fired from his job. He was a Hashiva, a big Yeshiva, a Chassid Yeshiva, I think it was. Anyway, so they fired him, because how could you be Mavazah, the God of Israel? And he was without a job for a long period of time. He was a Goyin Adya. And then after a number of months, he didn't know what to do with Apanasa. Finally, he got offered a job. He needed a hamlatza. He needed an imprimatur.
Recommendation.
Thank you. He needed a recommendation. So who did he go to get a recommendation? That's Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's how to give him a recommendation. Rav Moshe wrote him a 3-page recommendation. A lengthy, lengthy recommendation, lengthy hamlatza about his godless interior and whatever. So at least when Albert told me, the Talmidim of Rav Moshe, including Rav Nissen Alpin himself and other people in the family were furious. How could you write a hamlatza for this blankety blankety blank? I mean, he's a godly beast as well, but how could you write that? So Rav Moshe says, what's the problem? He said, what do you mean, what's the problem? Look what he wrote. Rav Moshe said, when he came to him, and this was I'm now coming to the second part of the story, that this fellow came to Balshin, the publisher. I said, could you publish this sefer? Balshin was a Shulchan Yodea sefer. Takes a look at it, he says, I can't publish this kind of a sefer with these lashonis against the Gadol Hador. I published his firm, Igros Moshe. How can I publish this? So, anyway, so he refused to publish it. So what did Balshin do? He says, Dafregen Hashayla. He went to ask Rav Moshe what to do. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, why does he want it published? He says, Adaptas Hobbit for Panasa. Panasa! Rav Moshe said, publish it. He needs it as Panasa. So he went and published it. The Gadol Hador told him to publish it. So a few months later, this guy has no job for a few months already, and he goes to Rav Moshe for a hamlatza. So he said to Rav Moshe, what are you doing? How can you write such a hamlatza, such a recommendation? Rav Moshe answered, that night, when I said Kriyash Malamita, I say, Hinini Moshe Lukobi Shehiknid Osi, Vitzir Osi, whoever, shall we say, caused me any anguish or distress, I am Moichel him completely. I was Moichel the fellow already months and months ago. What's your problem? But Rav Moshe said, since I had maybe a Sufi, maybe there was a Tina Belibi because the guy wrote in such a fashion against me and the whole world knew about it, I decided I have to write him a real hamlatza, not like the ones Rav Moshe used to write, but hamlatza of several pages. You hear this? These are the Gadol Yisrael that I was zeicha to have some, shall we say, ro'isas achera in front of you. So I'm simply sharing with you All this comes from my father. My father told me you have to have a Rebbe. Without a Rebbe, you can't move. Halavai, all of us should be zeicher to have a Rebbe that we can connect with. Uboy Sidbak, that's how we're dubbing the Ribbono Shalom, to be dubbing the Talmidei Chachamim. And with that, we'll be able to be zeicher to become not virtual Talmidei Chachamim, but the real McCoy. The authentic guy.